I'm Russell.
And I'm Leo. This is Spitball. Welcome to Spitball, the pitching kitchen, where three digital dreamers empty their heads of startup and tech product ideas that we have stuck up in there so you can all have them for free. Anything that we say is yours to keep. Scott, who'd you bring with us this week?
I have one of my oldest friends coming to you live from Hawaii.
What?
This is my friend Jake. He has been a persistent thorn in my side growing up. I was always the good kid growing up, and Jake was always the constant bad influence on me in my life. Truly one of my oldest and best friends. Welcome, Jake.
Right. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Welcome. We're so glad you're here. I didn't know you were in Hawaii. That's sick.
I am. My wife accepted a job at Queens Medical Center as one of the managers in the OR.
Wow.
So, yeah, we just kind of picked up our life and moved out here.
So are you like a trophy husband then? Is that mean you just stay at home and like...
Oh, God, I would.
Today I went to the market and got some fresh fruit.
I wish I were a trophy husband, but no, I work remotely.
What does working remotely even mean?
Yeah.
I talked to my mom today and she's like, oh, you're working from home. That's right. You don't work. Thanks, mom.
Boomers, yep. They don't understand us.
Pretty much.
As you all know, CPUs, processors, have code names when they're in development, such as, I don't know, Meteor Lake and Zen for AMD and Intel processors, right? So today we're going to be playing a game called Core Clash or Micro versus Core Macro. Clash. I haven't decided. We had a good like a debate over what the best name was today when I was at work. Today we're going to be talking about a name, and I need you guys to tell me if this was a code name for a processor from Intel, AMD, ARM, or if it was a planet in a sci-fi series. So, as always, we start with our guest, Jake. If you could tell me, for example, if I said Arrakis, that would be the planet from Dune, or Celeron, that's an Intel processor. Jake, Skylake, S-K-Y-L-A-K-E, one word.
Ooh, Skylake. Okay, I'm going to say it's a processor.
It indeed is. It was the Intel sixth generation. Scott, Trantor, T-R-A-N-T-O-R.
I really want that to be a planet, but I think it's got to be a processor.
That's a planet from Foundation, the series by Isaac Asimov. So unfortunately, no.
Thanks,
Russell, Conroe or Conroe, C-O-N-R-O-E.
It's a planet?
It's an Intel processor.
No way. Right.
It could be like a Nick Cage Con Air planet.
Jake off to a roaring start. That's, of course, the Core 2 Duo, the code name. Jake, Haswell, H-A-S-W-E-L-L.
I'm going to go with processor, Leo.
They were indeed very good.
Jake two for two. It.
That was an Intel line for fourth generation i7, i5. Scotty, Gallifrey, G-A-L-L-I-F-R-E-Y. Gallifrey, Gallifrey.
I have no idea. I'm going to say processor.
That, of course, is the home of the Time Lords and Doctor Who. You should have known that.
Sorry.
Russell, Cortex, C-O-R-T-E-X.
That's a processor. Has
That's
to
the ARM processor chips. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I would have been mad if that one was a planet. Core,
yeah. So if I'm keeping track, Jake 2, Russell 1, Scott Zitch. Jake, Ryloth, R-Y-L-O-T-H.
Okay, I was wondering when this was going to get more difficult. I'm going to say this is a planet for science fiction.
That indeed was the home planet of the Twi'leks in Star Wars, the dudes with the, you know, with the, colored with skin the and the long yeah. things on their head. I don't know. There's yeah. I've just offended half of our audience. I don't know. The like tentacle things that come off their head. I don't know
We've
what to call
We've lost
them.
One half and offended the other.
Someone on the Wikipedia is like, I can't believe this freaking podcaster just didn't. How offensive. Scott, Nehalem, N-E-H-A-L-E-M.
I've said processor every time. I'm just going to say planet.
There was a processor from Intel, of course. The 45 nanometer, 2008, first generation Core i5. Yeah.
Nehalem. No one can even say that.
Russell, Miranda, spelled like the girl's name. M-I-R-A-N-D-A.
That's a planet.
It is. Of course, that's where the Reavers are from in Firefly. Remotely terraformed planet. Last time through, Jake, you got a perfect score. What's your last one here? Harvest, spelled as it sounds, H-A-R-V-E-S-T.
Oh, man. Well, that could be either.
I know this one.
Let's go with processor.
What is it, Scott?
It's a planet.
From?
I don't remember.
It's from, it was the first planet that the Covenant attacked in Halo, of course.
Oh, that's what it is. No, that's Reach. For thank you. Oh, no, you're right. It is Harvest.
I thought it was New Horizon.
Maybe you don't know the whole lore, because.
Yeah.
I don't either. Last one, Scott. Miram. M-E-R-O-M.
Planet. Miram? I'm going to say confidently, but I have no idea.
Definitely a processor. The Core 2 Duo, Core 2 Solo. That's a rough score for you. Sorry to hear. All right. And Russell, last but not least. Korriban, K-O-R-R-I-B-A-N.
It's got the word core. It must be a processor,
it
right?
It was the ancient Sith homeworld, of course. Jake, I think that leaves with 3 points. You are our winner this week. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Scott got the hard ones.
I don't know. I'm just not good at this. The company I'm at right now uses code names all the time for their projects, and they're using Star Wars ones right now, and one of them is Kashyyyk. Like the Wookiee homeworld in Star Wars, except all the engineers who don't know Star Wars are it's Kashyyyk, and it just kills me inside every time they say it.
It's kind of a tough one to spell. I don't know if I could, there's like 2 Y's in there somewhere, right? All right, with that, I think, Russell, you are first this week. What you got for us?
All right. So recently I bought, I had to buy a lawnmower. By recently, I used to have this Sunjo lawnmower I bought on Amazon. It was an electric one, and it sucked. It like was so bad, but I used it for about 2 or 3 years. It's literally a box fan on the bottom of a lawnmower with blades. Like,
I had one of those. I congratulate you for using it for as long as you did, because it was so awful.
You know what I'm talking about. It was so bad.
The green thing?
Yes, the green one. And it's like the smallest, most narrow. I had to go over like 400 times on my lawn, and it was so bad.
Oh, that's rough.
I have a Sunjo power washer. It's pretty mid.
See, they trick us, right? They trick us with that electric, and they're tapping into our millennial, like,
millennial desire to save the world.
Saving the world. I'd rather burn coal when I mow my lawn than gasoline. But
anyway.
So I bought a lawnmower, and I realized, you know, I only use it probably once a month, because every other time I mow the lawn, I hire like the neighborhood kids to mow it because I'm gone all the time. So then I end up spending $300 on a lawnmower that I never use. My neighbor, they're college kid, kind of fresh out of college kids. They borrow my lawnmower all the time for free because I don't know. I just feel like a good person sometimes, despite me trying to avoid taxes in my last episode. That is why I came up with this idea. It's called, share economy. I don't know. We need a better name for it. Let's say
communism.
Share communism.
Share with friends. All right. We'll call it that.
You can call it share with friends. Share like, you're sharing.
Share your shares.
All right. How's it work?
So the idea and concept is you buy a lawnmower. All right. And you never, maybe you use it once a week, once a month. Your neighbor needs a lawnmower. You have 10, 15 people that all buy lawnmowers to mow their lawn and then store it in their garage, right? You only use it for an hour every other week, every week. Why not just borrow your neighbors and throw them some bucks, throw them some cash, right? And now it's kind of like the Toro, the
Turo.
Yeah, Turo. It's like where you borrow people's cars or.
Not Toro, the lawnmower company.
Oh, that's probably what got me confused.
Which is what I thought you meant.
Turo, right? So it's like you have all this stuff in your house. Why not just like look at your like neighbors, or let's say you have a group of friends that are nearby that you all sign up on the app, you list your stuff that you're willing to share, and then you just create this whole ecosystem of sharing, borrowing, make it free for friends. And then, hey, for 10 or 20 bucks, your neighbor could borrow it. You know, you could open it up. So it's not just like localized to your friends, but you could actually open it up to the market and say, let me borrow your saw. I only need it for a week, right? It can go and expand to house rental, Airbnb, like car rental, like why not just go, through the roof with it, right? But really the concept is like, I want to borrow a 50-inch TV, let's say for one day. I would pay and then it kind of works both ways. I want to buy a projector, but I don't want to pull. I want to like throw it on the marketplace to like compensate for the, you know, the cost of it. So that's kind of it. It's just group, local group sharing renting.
Okay. Very first thought is in our neighborhoods, you'll sometimes see like those boxes that people put up in the front yard, like little birdhouse looking things that have library books in them, or just like you can take a book and leave a book sort of thing. Put what, shed or something on your property where it's part of the same communist system. I don't, what did you call
it? Economy?
Share economy system.
TM.
You know, my shed set up and there's a combo or something on the front. And if you're part of the share economy, you can access the tools that I have in this shed specifically for the share economy.
So I came up with the name because I saw some article about boomers. Sorry, I'm like trashing every generation right now.
Please.
Like, millennials are sharing their stuff. And they called it the share economy, and it was like the doomsday for our economy, and people were sharing their stuff. So that's why I named it that.
So this is like a middle finger to that. Oh, yeah. I love it.
A shed is a really cool idea though, Scott. Then you or like some sort of lockbox thing, right? So the app kind of has a a locking feature or code.
Yeah, I can grab the weed whacker from the shed.
Yeah. I mean, Airbnb has those locks, right? That would be just like it.
So I don't know if you know this, Russell. We live, I don't know, the listeners might not know this, but Russell and I live right next to each other. We live in a neighborhood that has like a co-op for tools. You can pay, I think it's like $25 a year or something cheap. And some guy in his garage maintains the neighborhood tool library where there's like a socket set and a jack and a drill and I don't know what else, some shears and a chainsaw and stuff. And you can just borrow it a bit at a time from the tool library. This is like decentralizing that idea where everybody has a little bit of it. I really like that. This seems way more sustainable than like, what if the tool library owns one of them and then it's checked out and gone?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, and if you throw a little bit of that insurance, $5 for insurance, right? If it breaks or whatever, you know? But hey, the tool library, I know that you're talking about, but it's maintained by one dude. I don't know this person. I feel kind of weird for some reason. I don't, maybe that's my fault, right? Like, but it's like kind of this distant, I see it and I'm like, oh, I don't want to walk into this guy's house and have like a 30-minute conversation with somebody I don't know to borrow a tool.
You want it to be like an Airbnb where you have no interaction with the host.
Right. Or Craigslist where it's very transactional. You're like, hey, you got the iPhone? Yeah, you got your $60. Let me turn it on and and then we're on our way, right? Never see you again.
This might just be a Midwest thing. I don't know. We'll have to ask Jake on that one. Willing to share tools.
I currently live on the 22nd floor of a high rise, so I don't really have tools anymore, which is just lovely.
You have a handyman.
But what I do notice a lot, because I am from the Midwest, is that, yes, Midwest culture, people are a lot friendlier in the Midwest than they are in the rest of the world. And I'm not like tooting the horn of the Midwest.
It's true.
I have moved around a lot and I've known a lot of people, and Midwest culture is just, you know, a lot more accepting of helping your neighbor. And yeah, I think it would be an excellent idea to have something like a little library or a little tool shed outside. My main concern with it is, okay, how do you upkeep the tools? Lawnmower, you know, you need to put oil in it. You need to put gasoline in it. If it's electric, which you do not want an electric one, you need to plug it in somewhere. Maybe there's like an extension cord that you need. So there are a lot of variables in my head that say, you know, that would be a bit cumbersome, but it would also add on to the experience of, hey, I even have the extension cord that goes to the electric lawnmower for you. Hey, are you going up on the roof to drill in your little Christmas lights? I have an extension cord for you. It's 60 feet long. I have a ladder for you. Take it.
I love the idea of maintaining your, like, people could donate tools to this instead of buying brand new or something. I have an old lawnmower. I'm just going to donate that on there. Not an electric, but an actual gas one. And then maybe I'm responsible for the upkeep, or maybe I get, you know, free service because I donated this thing of this value to it. So I get free membership of all the other tools on here.
You know, yeah. Or like in this, in a way, because it's still like your lawnmower, right? You're still kind of responsible for that upkeep and stuff. And hopefully you're making enough bucks, right? Or your friends are giving Venmoing you enough money to keep that maintenance up.
You give it like a digital currency, your share economy bucks. You put $5 in and that lets you borrow from your neighbors, or you can get some share economy bucks from your neighbors borrowing your lawnmower. So then you have the library, the you know, wallet now in your virtual thing to then buy someone else's garden shears for an afternoon or something.
Yeah, commie bucks, we'll call it.
Commie bucks.
You can even put it like a subscription system where there are certain tiers of shears, you know, shear one. Like,
your shears tiers, yeah, totally.
You know, shear one is like the small hand tools that nobody really wants. Tier two is like the lawn mowers, and maybe like tier five is like a ride-on mower where you have a cup holder. I had one. It was amazing.
That's how our neighborhood tool library works. There's like the $25 a year for non-power tools, and then it's 50 or something for you can have a couple power tools also at a time. Yeah.
God bless America.
So I guess, Jake, you got me thinking, what would city people want to borrow? Like, do people like, do they want to borrow like DJ equipment, or like, what do you guys in the city do? Like light show equipment, lasers.
What do you think people in cities do, Russell?
Do drugs and
in my apartment.
I live in Honolulu, which is like very college centric. And these college kids do a lot less now than what we were doing back in college. I never went to college, but I partied with Scott a lot during his college days, so I know. But yeah, these college kids these days, they don't really go out much. Like Russell was saying, if there's, you know, a television that I want to rent out or a projector, and I can have like friends over and we can play, you know, Mario Kart on the projector, or
yeah, put a GameCube or something in there.
Yeah, it would have to be something that would be indoors, because city life, you don't really do anything outdoors, especially when you're living in an apartment.
Dollies. You need dollies, right? When dollies.
You yeah. That's an all. Oh, yeah. A dolly would be fantastic.
That would be great.
If you want to expand into the, you know, car rental, you can say, hey, I need a truck with a flatbed to help me move out of this place.
Gosh, that's like my dream, to like be able to borrow somebody's truck for free the one time a year you need it.
Never tell anyone you own a pickup.
That's right. Always have a friend with a pool, a boat, a pickup.
Lost my friend with the pool.
Yeah, I know. Leo.
Yeah, moved away, not looking back. Our local hardware store has like $20 an hour pickup truck rental beaters that you can do.
You know, you know what's weird? I just don't want to rent from like Home Depot, though. Is that weird? It just feels there's something novel, I think, about like borrowing from your neighbors, but it's hard to do it.
It's the trust, right? Like you could have your app have the Uber style ratings, and you get to know, like, I've only whitelisted these 12 people can borrow from me because I live within X miles of them and I know them, kind of thing.
Man, wow. This reminded me, there's this guy. Oh, I don't know how this came up. This, sorry guys, this is going to go way off topic. But my friend was like, yeah, so I hate bumming cigarettes now. And it was because every time he bumped, he would never be a bum, right? He'd always be giving them away. And so he wanted to create an app.
Where you keep track of it?
Where you keep track. And it's like, yeah, just bum me one, right? So you literally buy a digital pack on your phone and you would give away. Like, oh, yeah, sure. Just I'll give you a digital cigarette. You get a cig in real life. And now, like, Marlboro is, you know, selling digital packs online, and everybody's got this like digital cigarette economy.
Is it on the blockchain?
That would have been so great to have when I was a smoker. You have no idea how hard it was when you were jonesing and you were completely broke and out of cigarettes. You had to go like find someone on the street and be like, you're smoking, can I have a cigarette please? Like, it was the most awkward exchange ever. Like, also, I forgot my lighter at home. Can I have your lighter? Also, please, sir, can I have your lung?
Yeah, right. Can you smoke it for me, please?
That's dude, amazing. City life. There you go. That's for the city people, all right?
There you go.
But I think there's an element, like, replace cigarettes with, like, I don't know, baking. I think of everybody's borrowing cups of sugar for some reason, but that's not true. Like, there's probably somebody out there that's like,
I feel like that's a very 50s thing to do.
It is.
Right? You'd get shot if you tried that nowadays.
I have a neighbor down the street who just a couple days ago asked me for, like, do you have a can of black beans or something like that?
And,
like,
interesting.
I don't want to run to the store. Do you have anything? Yeah, it does still happen.
And they have the courage to knock on your door and ask for that.
It was a text.
Cool. See? That's why you need the app, you know? Yeah. See, and now she gives, or he gives you a digital can of black beans. Leo, what do you got for us today?
Today's pitch is something we're going to build together.
Oh, boy.
It is four words. Are you ready? Cabinets that are dishwashers. So, you may or may not realize because of the trend in this show has been I have different variations of the word dishwasher. You may be able to tell I do the dishes in my house every freaking day. It's nightmare inducing. So, I have seen in Norway, somewhere in Scandinavia, they have a drying rack that is the cabinet and it's over the sink. So the whole bottom of the cabinet is like slotted and you put your wet dishes up there and it drips down into the sink. What is stopping the world from putting away their dishes into a cabinet that is sealed that does the dishwashing? Every single dish that you put in the cabinet doesn't have to be dirty, right? Just wash the clean ones too. I don't know why we can't make this all be one thing. You put your dishes with your spaghetti sauce right back into the little vertical rack that they go in your cabinet. And then at midnight every night, it just washes every one that you mark as this one has been opened at least once today. Why wouldn't this work? Please tell me.
I'm picturing all my cabinets are now replaced with dishwashers. That's it. Like, there's dishwashers above, there's dishwashers below.
Well, obviously, they would be a different design than just like a regular dishwasher that opens like a tray.
Dishwasher works. Just put them everywhere.
I guess.
Just have some kind of self-dispensing soap system that feeds into all of them and you're golden.
Right. Centralized Tide Pod distribution system for Cascade or whatever.
So would the dishwashers still look like cabinets or would they look like miniature dishwashers?
I think you could make them be cabinets, right? They just have the seal around the door and you've got like a rack system in each one of your cabinets. You're not stacking the plates like you would normally, but you put them on a little rack and you press go, right?
I love this.
I would actually really like this as well.
Why not have 10 of them, 12? And then, like I said, you could have a sensor where when you open the door at least once, that changes a light somewhere in the corner from green to red. And even if you only use one dish in there, just wash them all again. There's some problems with, like, it would probably eat away the enamel every day washing for years, maybe. Not super great for dishes.
Then
but
you sell your own plates on the website, too.
There we go. I was about to say, right. It starts with the plates, you know?
That's where the real money is.
You might have some problems with rust or something. I don't know, but
I love this. Just
Picturing
being able to put my dirty plate back and just
back.
Not think.
Sure.
What if you, like, so, like, what, I think water is the problem. What if you used heat? Can you use heat to clean? Like, dehydrate?
Cook the crap out of it.
Just bake. Dude, oven cleaning mode. Yep.
You don't need dishwashers. It's just ovens. The entire thing is ovens in your kitchen.
You already have an oven.
So you're worried about the water usage, so you want to heat several things to 350 or more every day?
Yeah.
I'm just worried about the environment, so I want to have 12 ovens on at all times. Yes.
No, think of it as an air fryer, all right? You got a fan, convection oven, it dehydrates and heats. Boom, instant clean.
All-inclusive cabinets. Any cabinet can do anything. It doesn't matter. It can wash your dishes. It can cook your turkey.
You just put your turkey right in the cabinet.
You can store your spices in it. It doesn't matter.
This is my cabinet turkey.
Also refrigerates. I forgot about that too.
Exactly right.
Put a beer can in there. Boom. Beer can turkey.
Don't mix up the settings. Bad stuff can happen. And you put all your forks in the microwave cabinet. Like,
I feel like we've lost the plot here a little bit.
Okay. This you're onto something, Leo. Because what if you just had one giant, like, just like three dishwashers? Like, you can solve this problem today by three dishwashers.
And that's just where they live.
And that's just where they live. Why
that's
not
what
just...
I want. Then put them up where the cabinets go.
I love that, actually. It's just one massive open area. But, you know, it can look like it's different cabinet doors opening. But really, it's just one whole giant dishwasher.
Sure.
And you could, yeah, sure. If height's an issue, right? If you don't want to bend down to get your dishes, Leo, I guess.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, like, you got a lot of pots and pans and stuff, too, that you'd have to make room for. But I feel like with the rolling racks that most dishwashers have, this could be doable.
Yeah, you could probably even, you know, make bigger cabinets for those bigger items with the pots and pans and whatnot. I'm saying this as I'm sitting in my kitchen looking at my cabinets being like, how would this work?
Sure.
It'd be really cool.
You waterproof it, you get some sprayers, you get some hoses, you mark which ones you want to run, you say go.
So how would you run the water to the cabinets?
Plumbing.
Same way the water runs through the rest of the house, right?
Just Wi-Fi it.
Wi-Fi. You guys remember ThinkGeek? ThinkGeek always had like yearly April Fool's sales, and one of their products was a cordless extension cord, a wireless extension cord. But they also had wireless hose sprayers too. So good.
Bluetooth hoses.
Nice. Exactly it.
If you get hoses to each one, just like as your dishwasher has routing around it to get to the various sprayers. I don't know. You can hook up to your house's plumbing, right?
So... all right, I gotta throw this in here, Leo, and I forgot about this idea. Why not? The dishwashing is the problem, right?
Sure, yeah.
So what if instead of on your way to put your dish in the cabinet, okay, take the Dyson hand dryer and a pressure washer, okay? So instead of having to clean your plate, you just go, oh, just dip your plate into the super cleaner, and then it goes right in. Always.
That. You put it away instantly. It's dried, ready to go.
Yeah, you just dip it in and out and then you put it back away.
Why not that?
You're just feeding them in like to a paper shredder or something and they're coming out perfectly clean on the other side. I love that.
Yeah, just that's your dishwasher. Just rip out the dishwasher and now you have the power washer Dyson air fan. Like you just put it, you stack it in a way and now you're just like, what is it? Like a DVD. You remember the old DVDs, you put it in, it cleans it and it comes right back out.
Like those DVD cleaners. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just make it so it can take any shaped object and throw it in there.
Yeah, how about you talking here? What about when I want to clean my crock pot?
Toss it throw in. It out.
Disposable. So rust, I think, is going to be an issue. Wearing down your enamels on your plates might be an issue, but I can't think of too many other reasons why this might be a problem.
The weight of a dishwasher hanging off your studs.
Nah, it's all plastic. It's fine.
Yeah, water's pretty heavy, but they don't use a ton of water. They kind of recirculate the same.
That's true.
A little bit.
You use light water. Just the lighter water.
Light water. H1O, huh?
It's half the weight.
Pure calories.
H1O. Could you use like a chemical? Like, what?
I did great in chemistry in high school.
What about like, why don't we throw chemicals on it? Like alcohol, right? Dries
like
easier.
Like dry cleaning.
Yeah, like dry cleaning, but instead of using water, it's like you use alcohol to clean it and then it dries the plates faster. You create a filter system so that way it's not using water.
Dry cleaning doesn't use water. That's why it's called that. They use chemicals. There's got to be some combination of horribly toxic corrosive chemical that you just put on and rinse off, right?
Listerine, all right? We just use Listerine, all right?
More That's sanitary not- than hand washing.
Listerine used to be floor wash, if I remember correctly.
What?
So,
are you serious?
Oh yeah, yeah. Holy cow. Gingivitis is completely, or halitosis. It was halitosis is completely made up.
Am I supposed to gargle Pine Sol then?
Instructions unclear. Gargled Pine Sol. Oh yeah. All right, Scott, you're next. What you got?
Okay, so I had an idea for this week, but earlier today I just had a conversation with an old acquaintance and I can't stop thinking about what he just told me, and I think I have to, I guess, pitch this idea today. It's more of a branding exercise that might get me in trouble with PETA. This guy is a professional chef and he's been doing it for the last 30 years, and he's also a very hardcore entrepreneur. He's always trying to find the next gig. Several years ago, he lives in Detroit, and several years ago Michigan legalized weed. And he was probably the first person to go out and get the maximum number of plants that you can get, growing them in his basement. He bought a big hydroponic setup. And ever since, he's just been growing as much weed as possible and selling it on the side to make an extra buck. So recently, I was talking about this today because Ohio just had an election and they just legalized weed. And he's always been complaining, like, prices of weed have been going just crashing all around because more and more dispensaries are being opened. Everyone's trying this. And all of a sudden, he can't make money anymore. And so talking to him, I said, okay, what's your next big adventure going to be? Because he always has fun ideas. And he goes, okay, I have this massive hydroponic setup. The next thing, goldfish. I'm like, I was rather confused by that. He goes, no, like goldfish, like koi fish. Apparently, millennials and people just love koi fish right now, and you can sell them for a pretty penny. And I have all the setup to grow and raise large koi fish in my basement. And he goes, the problem is my basement is still full of like 60 pounds of weed that I can't sell. So I think what I'm going to do is just feed the koi fish all the weed I have and grow them as big as possible. So I had to stop him there, like, do koi fish eat weed? He goes, yeah, they'll eat absolutely anything. you put in any kind of plant in your tank or whatnot. He's been doing hydroponics for years. I guess he knows this. I have not fact checked this at all. But he goes, yeah, they'll happily eat all the weed that I have down there. And so it's just a big branding exercise. I don't remember what he called it, like koi kush or like toke tail or something, where he's just going to grow these koi fish and sell them on the side. But the whole premise is that they were raised on whole grown farm organic weed. And he's going to have different websites where it's just showing a bunch of little squinty eyed, very happy koi fish. I can't stop thinking about this. And I need help digesting this idea.
So because we do have Google and the internet, yes. Koi fish will eat anything that they can fit into their mouths. Anything that they can filter feed, they'll eat it.
Well, he's got the RO water, he's got the bubblers, and he's got the food, apparently. So,
yeah.
Does cannabis have nutritional value?
I could Google that, too. I'm a writer, so I'm not worried about the FBI. They've already been watching me for a while, so.
Does THC affect a koi fish? Do fish get high?
Whoa.
This is the 18-plus episode.
Their memory goes from 5 seconds to 3 seconds, I guess. I don't know.
I you need to see the control. He's got to grow a control set of koi fish next to his always baked
baked koi fish.
Okay, so apparently koi fish have healing properties on both body and mind if you keep and raise them.
So is that your MVP then? Is that what you're selling at that point? Extra healing koi fish?
Dude, like every weed dispensary would just buy this up and just be like, oh, we got some expired weed. Let's throw it into our koi fish pond. Our kush fish.
Kush fish.
Dang. I guess I gotta see a high koi fish in order to know how to sell it.
I just wanna see two next to each other and be able to point out, okay, which one's the one that grew up on organic weed the whole time, his whole life.
So the idea is to sell high
Is there a market for, would people find that funny or interesting enough to be like, hell yeah, I want a fish that's only eaten weed its whole life?
I think it's so niche that it's kind of like a movie where it's a cult classic. People are going to be like, hey, did you see the extended copy of Blade Runner with the high koi fish? Yeah.
It does feel like it's got to catch on, and then it's going to catch on hard and fast. And then all these, you know, tokers, I don't know what they call them. All these people that enjoy the culture of weed would become deep
in
the
koi fish.
I need
one of these fish.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though, if you were able to prove, like, or just show that, wow, this fish is so much healthier and probably happier than all the other fish I've ever raised?
2-minute research here. Fish have an endocannabinoid system, which is the biological system that interacts with cannabinoids like THC. So we don't know how. It's never been studied.
So they can get high, is what you're telling us.
It somehow THC affects their bodies. It doesn't just like not affect them. So this would have some sort of effect. Maybe. Study required.
Oh my God. The coolest thing ever.
This podcast has reached new heights.
It's very high right now. Yeah. It's important to note that exposing fish to THC could be harmful due to differences in physiology. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, hopefully your buddy, you know, has he been feeding these koi fish for a while? Have they lived long enough?
No, I think this is just his next venture. I don't even know how serious he is on this, but I mean, he's very serious about growing the goldfish or koi fish in his basement with all the equipment that he has. And I think he's just trying to offload 40 pounds of weed right now.
Does it go bad?
Does he want to send it to me?
He could just promote his koi fish business with free weed. Buy a koi fish, free weed.
I think that's a way better idea. Buy a koi fish, get an ounce.
And now, like, all these 16, like, teenage kids are like, hey, can I have a koi fish?
Oh, God, that's the new drug name for weed on the street. Hey, you got some koi, man?
It's Gen Z weed name.
We cannot pin this on Gen Z. This is squarely on us.
It's not a Gen Z.
Over 12 episodes of the show, we've pinned a lot on Gen Z. This idea came right from us.
Thank you, Gen Zers, for listening to our podcast.
Please like and subscribe.
Please like and subscribe.
All right, Jake, what is an idea you have?
So firstly, I would like to kind of rewind back to the very first episode of Spitballers.
Spitball.
Yeah, okay, Spitball.
Or Spitballers playing Spitball.
No, Spitballers? Ballers are what we call our fans.
Okay, three lovable scamps. Let's cast our minds back to the first episode where Scott was talking about this, an app where you throw some money in and you go do something and you work out and it pays you to work out or something like that. And then it divulged deeper into like a DARE system. Well, Scotty, I don't know if you knew this, but there's actually a movie that is kind of along those lines. It's called Nerve. It was released in 2016. It's with Emma Roberts and Dave Franco.
Okay.
It was not great.
Okay.
I wish there were more memorable moments, but
solid 6.5 on IMDb.
So following in that, my movie knowledge, I found during the pandemic what I was doing was when one of the old movies were coming out to play. Like I saw Alien in theaters during the pandemic. I saw the extended editions of Lord of the Rings, all three movies.
Oh,
it was awesome. But I had no one to share that with because it was the pandemic and no one was going to movie theaters. Hmm. Also, my wife didn't want to go with me because she doesn't like Lord of the Rings. I don't know why.
Nobody's perfect. It's fine.
Anyway, so I realized in that moment how much I missed having someone in the movie theater with me. So once that movie ended, I could look at them and be like, that was awesome. That was amazing. We, you know, and we would have, you know, a good conversation about the movie and what our favorite scenes were. So my pitch is, what if there's an app called Movie Buddy, I guess. It's an app for cinephiles like myself to meet up, to go see a movie, to chat about it afterwards, to hang out. You know, you can also like get big groups together and say, let's go see this movie, or hey, I'm hosting this movie night at my house and we'll have a discussion afterwards.
Book club organizing, but for movies.
I know there's Reddit, but as you guys keep saying, you know, how long is that going to be around for? Also, you know, it could even evolve into like a dating app. I know Russell is like the head honcho of Russell's romance corner,
Russell's love corner.
You know, you can find people with similar movie tastes saying, hey, I want to go see this romantic comedy with a person that I am attracted to. And you can swipe left on people or swipe right and say, hey,
what's your movie taste?
Yeah.
It's such a perfect little like non-committal. You can learn so little in so little conversation. You just sit next to them and then for 3 hours, like, do they cough weird? You can just, they smell funny.
Do they make weird sounds when they eat popcorn.
So my biggest pet peeve is people who talk during movies.
I was just
like,
if
it's a new movie that I haven't seen, I do not want you talking to me.
Totally.
So it can be like your profile says, oh, I'm a movie talker. No, I'm swiping left on you. I can't do that.
I love that. It sorts you into the right group. I completely agree. The experience of at the end of a movie where you're just like, you just want to talk about it and share. Even if you're just standing in the lobby of the theater afterwards and just like, oh my God, this just happened or whatnot.
It's really special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of my favorite experiences in my life is I saw opening night Prestige, like Christopher Nolan's Prestige, just a crazy wild movie. And if you haven't seen it, the final like 3 seconds of the movie is just mind blowing. Like, what? Opening night, credits go up of Prestige, and it's complete silence in the theater when the credits come up because everyone doesn't know what just happened. Guy next to me just smacks me in the chest and goes, "Dude, what the fuck just happened up there?" Yes, I want to share that with people.
Dude, AMC, like all these movie theaters would love that. They would love to make that happen. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Especially with the, I don't know if you guys have been following the Taylor Swift movie. I know. Swifties are just like getting up and dancing during this thing. Can you imagine if there's like a high profile movie out, like the Taylor Swift movie, and you don't know like any other Swiftie, and you're like, I need a Swiftie right now. Let's go to the Swift movie, Taylor Swift movie, and dance and sing with her.
Dude, this is like, I think, the way to save AMC theaters, you know? you just put it on like their movie pass or what, like, you know, you create this like whole environment and group buying decisions. Like now they have like a group of people that are going to meet up at the same time. They want the best experience. So you got to set it up that way. These are high profile critics, but like hobbyist critics, right? Influencers, all that. But you create the like network, or you create the process for people to locally meet up. If it's 5 people, if it's 100 people, whatever. You know, and then of course you got to go to the local movie theaters or something. I don't know if that matters to people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They just want the best experience, right?
Right. And I also want a chair that reclines and popcorn that I can refill for free.
Hey, you could, like, what would be cool is I feel like theaters should be putting old movies back, like really popular old school movies. Yes, I don't know if they're doing that, but that would be like the power to the movie buffs, you know?
No, they actually are doing this now. I've noticed this a lot with our theater down here, is they're playing the older movies, and these are movies from our childhood. Emily and I saw Scream 1996, and it was amazing in theaters because there were so many different age groups there that were sitting there enjoying this classic, cozy slasher film. Mm-hmm. And they did that for the entire month of October. They would show like these classic horror films. So yeah, movie theaters are getting savvy, and they're saying, hey, maybe we should bring back some of the older classics.
That's so smart. I would love to see some of those in theaters.
Let the movie buffs like vote. They should be the ones telling the theaters what they want.
Only Transformers movies.
Yeah. But no, it's really interesting to think about the duality of having these movie theaters have access to it to say, hey, what movie would you guys want to see? Maybe they put up a poll of maybe 4 or 5 movies and say the one with the most votes will show next week.
Yes.
Makes perfect sense. There are several movies that I hold near and dear that I would love to have the theater experience again over. Only I'm going with someone that I know hasn't seen it yet, so I could live through them, you know?
Yeah, and even you could even, like, in the app, you can say, hey, I'm looking for someone who hasn't seen this movie so that they can enjoy it with me. There's that old mentality of, like, toxic movie buff and the non-toxic movie buff. Like, the toxic movie buff will sit there and be like, you haven't seen this movie? And then there's the non-toxic of, you haven't seen this movie yet? I am so excited for you. Can I watch it with you?
Yep, absolutely.
I think there's something cool too, like, because when you have everybody going to the movie theater for a movie they all like by selecting that, it's a different experience. Because nowadays with these movies, you're like walking out of the theater, you don't know if it's going to be good or bad anymore. And so you'd love to just see all the people that love this movie. To your point, this Swiftie movie, like imagine if it was like some old movie that everybody loved in the theater together for that like one weekend.
Yeah, no, when we watched Scream, it was really just very special because this franchise has lived for so long and persevered for so long that it's affecting multiple generations. There were people who were in their 60s seeing this movie in theaters, and then there were teenagers.
Dude, you could do this. You could make this app so easy. You connect it to IMDb.
Yeah, but I don't have the time. That's why I'm giving it to you guys.
That's right.
That's why I'm here.
I wonder if there's an app out there to like track all the movies you've watched and rate
them. It's called Letterboxd.
Yep.
They're boxed.
And I use it religiously.
It does seem like a feature that they could take and like add to their app. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking about during this.
It could be. Yeah.
Or we exit to them. We build this app and then they buy us.
That's a strategy.
Or it even like compares your list on Letterboxd with other people and gets you matched up with other people with your similar interests and says, ooh, hey, you all really like these four, but there's a bunch of other people who liked those four movies who really loved this fifth one that none of you have seen. We really recommend you five people, if you've opted in, you know, go see this one that we're pretty sure you would also enjoy. That's got to be a thing,
and
right?
Every app has your GPS location now. It knows you're around these five people. You guys should all
you
meet
mark
up.
Yourself as times that you're free some nights, and then it'll give you both people to go with and a recommendation of something that they know is playing. Yeah.
Love that.
What a strange experience that would be, though. Like, or just like, yeah, it'd be so unique.
Hi, I don't know you, but I guess I kind of know you.
The app told me to meet you here. Right. Yeah, we're going to watch a movie together.
Well, you go in knowing that you have similar interests in at least one part of your life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And even with like movie theaters nowadays where they sell tickets to actual seats, that's where the movie theaters come in and say, hey, these seats are available. You and your five friends can come see Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Don't watch that movie.
It's kind of like, I don't know. I guess like in a way it feels like it would be a strange experience, but like Uber was not a strange experience, but in a way it's like that feeling of like
the first time I did it, it felt weird.
Right. And you know, and Airbnb at first, it was like, I'm going to stay in someone else's house. So someone out there, run with it, please. I would love to see what someone can do with it.
Letterboxd, J-Con is your new director of vision and community.
I mean, it's already more successful than MoviePass, so I mean,
high bar,
just not existing.
God, those were the golden days, man.
Yeah. Bingo, I got it on my card. We reminisced about how great MoviePass was.
Yeah,
is that on your card? I took advantage.
Russell's the reason MoviePass failed. I don't know if you knew this, Jake.
Yeah,
I did not.
When you had MoviePass, you had to go to the location itself and buy the ticket with the debit card they mailed you, and they would cover the cost. Yeah. Unless you had special theaters in your area where you could buy the tickets online and reserve the seat, and then they didn't make you go to the theater to get the seat. And so we all had accounts, and we would have a group chat where like, can I get three tickets to Moana? And we would all like buy tickets on our app because we didn't have to be at the theater and like share them with each other. Here's your code for this one.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
But then Russell learned, oh, the theater has a rewards program, so I'll just buy a ticket every day and not go.
He'd spend hundreds of dollars of Silicon Valley money so he could get a free small popcorn the next time he went.
He took a venture capitalist wallet and lit it on fire.
Russell, was it worth it?
I actually never ended up getting free popcorn. I just never ended up using it. I just saw the points go up. I mean, it was kind of just like ridiculous that I could do it. So it was just the thrill. It was a little bit of that.
Somewhere in a database, somewhere in our local theater, there's a really high number next to your email address.
It's got some movie buff. We should send it.
It'd be great for this app.
It's like the ticket redeeming booth. You have enough for the Xbox on the top shelf.
You know what's so funny? Every time I did that, like there'd be some new feature to like stop that from happening. Like you're like you could only see a movie once. Oh, well that sucks. Now I have to like buy every ticket, you know, I have to watch every movie now. And then it switched to like your geolocation needed to be near the theater. I'm like, okay, so then when I would drive home, I'd just like
swing by it, ping it real quick, and keep going.
It wasn't a great geofencing, so literally as I drove by on like the main street, I just hit it a bunch of times and then it would work. So I was like,
that's great.
It's the thrill of doing something stupid for just the sake of doing something.
Yes.
And then the company folded.
And then the company collapsed.
I saw at least a dozen movies I wouldn't have. It was the golden days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed yourself. And thank you very much, Jake. It was lovely to have you here.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Next time you have an idea, we got to have you back.
Okay, excellent.
Our website is spitball.show. Please email us any feedback, comments, ideas. If you want to be on the show, tell us what your ideas are. We'd love to have you. That's how you can follow us on the Fediverse also. We are podcast at spitball.show. follow us on Mastodon, those kind of places. Our subreddit is r/spitballshow. Our intro outro music is Swingers by Bonkers Beat Club. And please, you're listening on a podcast app right now, hit us with that 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. Pull over in your car if you're listening to us in a car, and pull out that phone and just press whatever button is near the name Spitball. We'd love to have it. That's the best way for people to find the show. New episode is coming out soon. We will see you then.